This time last year, the room in the corner of the Research Protection Department was bare. And now it's got a fume hood, test tubes in every color, and this $49,000 machine.
This is the thing.
This is the thing.
The big exciting thing.
It goes beep.
That just looks like a big box.
Yeah.
It's your own R2-D2.
Yeah,
it's your own little robot.
Michael Jamros is the lab's new manager, and the robot in question is a plate reader, one of several machines that can analyze toxins in shellfish.
We shuck all the meat out, and then we put it in a blender to homogenize it.
Then Jamros extracts the toxins and removes the solids using a centrifuge. With a pipette, he'll dispense the solution in 96 tiny wells on one plastic plate. Imagine filling a tray with batter for 96 muffins. But instead of putting it in an oven, Jamros will feed it into a plate reader. He's running what's called an ELISA assay, measuring the toxicity of each well. The results appear on his laptop.
From here, we have our data that we can calculate from and figure out how much toxin is in our samples.
You hear that? Data. Cold, hard numbers that take the guesswork out of eating butter clams or blue mussels. In Southeast, there's never been a way for subsistence harvesters to assess the risk of paralytic shellfish poisoning or measure harmful algal blooms or HABs, which load shellfish with toxins. Until now.
You know, native people have been harvesting clams for thousands of years, and you know, and a lot of the elders I talk to, they don't do it anymore because they just don't know.
Chris Whitehead is STA's environmental program manager and the driving force behind the lab, which is set to open in May.
So to be able to bring that back and let them, you know, utilize that resource is huge.
When he came to SICA in 2013, Whitehead wanted to create a warning system for clam diggers, just like in Washington State.
The Department of Health has a great website you can look at and see what beaches are open or closed to kind of monitor these events, these HAB events. And when I got to Alaska, there wasn't anything like that set up. So mainly I just wanted to go dig clams, and I didn't have anybody to call to find out if it was safe or not.
White called up Alaska's state lab, housed at the Department of Environmental Conservation. They test all commercial shellfish.
But the turnaround time for the data to actually be usable for us to prevent human health issues wasn't going to work.
And so Whitehead decided to create his own marine biotoxin program right here in Southeast. He secured over $1 million in grant funding over the next 3 years, and he formed a coalition of 13 other tribes in the region and organized trainings for them with state and federal agencies like NOAA to be eyes in the water, monitoring local beaches for toxic blooms.
So those sites will be monitored at the expense of the tribe and the resources that the tribes have. Every other week, so every tide cycle pretty much.
Jerry Borchert was in SICA last fall to lead one of those trainings. He coordinates marine biotoxin management for the state of Washington and came up on Whitehead's invitation.
You know, I started, my first time here was a year ago in September, and it was a much smaller group. I think there were six tribes at the time. And a lot of these folks, you know, this is all brand new to them. You know, looking at plankton, trying to identify what a harmful species looks like, how to record it and how to share this information. And it's those same tribes in the beginning that are now like the teachers, and it's expanding and more tribes are getting involved. So, but this is amazing.
And that's not all. With the new laboratory, subsistence users can send their actual shellfish to Sitka and get results back in one business day. Eventually, the lab hopes to run tests for commercial entities like shellfish growers and processors. But some hurdles remain. The lab needs the blessing of an alphabet soup of agencies, most importantly the FDA, to become a full-fledged regulatory lab on par with the one in Anchorage. Here's Borchert.
Long-term stability is something I'm a little concerned with, and I hope that, you know, right now the state regulatory folks are finally coming to these workshops, and they're seeing what can happen.
So Whitehead is taking it one step at a time. The lab is running samples all this month and sending their results to NOAA in Seattle for verification. If those check out, the lab will begin accepting subsistence shellfish as early as May. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.